who has who's trying and finding her way in the world, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This one is well done. It's funny, and you certainly will care about what happens to these people, and it certainly does ring true. Many of the situations they find themselves in. But really, first and foremost, it's a comedy. And it, as I said, it manages that balance very deftly. It's called Landline. It's out there streaming now. You should check it out.
Wow. A couple of the cast from The Sopranos, right? Thrown in there?
Edie Falco.
Totoro wasn't in that one? No?
He was not in The Sopranos, to my best of my recollection.
Oh, okay.
He's done other... He was in Miller's Crossing many years ago, which is a mob movie. Perhaps that's what you're thinking.
Okay. All right. So we got a trifecta this week. So what is Mike's pick of the week?
Mr. Jones from 1993. Rated R. It's directed by Mike Figgis. It stars Richard Gere, Lena Olin, and Anne Bancroft.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones, played by Richard Gere, is a man in his 40s who is very bipolar. And he is hospitalized as a result. And the story is of his hospitalization and his difficulties with the illness and trying to understand that he himself is not his illness. And can he come to accept these things, etc. And his relationship with his psychiatrist, played by Lena Olin. I recommend this film principally on the strength of Richard Gere's performance. Very difficult task to portray someone that ill,
mm-hmm.
and to do it convincingly, and to not veer off into the complete hyperbole or just complete hamminess, if you like, and he manages it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
There's elements to the story that perhaps are a little superfluous, but still, I say check this one out. It's been a while, and I think it deserves another look. It's really one of the best performances you're likely to see, and you will certainly remember it, both Mr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like a popcorn movie, though. This one sounds a little deep.
No. If what I suggested, or if what I outlined to you sounds like popcorn, then we're sitting in a different aisle in the theater. No, it's not.
Now, in the past, you've thrown Mr. Gere under the bus a few times on some performances.
I don't recall that I've
been unkind
to Mr. Gere.
He's put in place for certain demographics to ogle
okay.
at, but
okay.
this one it All sounds right. like this one's his one of his best work.
I think so. Yeah, I just recommended it. So,
super.
Yeah, I think so. He's had a varied career, and I think this one is one of his best, and there are a few that where he's really, really quite good.
Super.
He's had a long career, and mm-hmm. He's expressed recently that, he's content with, his place in cinema history, et cetera, and he sort of does what he wants to do.
Right.
And I think, that's to be wished. But, yeah, this one is certainly worth seeing for a really quite a good performance by Richard Gere.
Super. All right, man. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
All right,
week.
See you then.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Mike in the Movie is giving you three good ones this week. Mission Impossible Fallout, Landline, and Mr. Jones. But that Mr. Jones sounds like you're going to have to be a little prepared for that one. All right, we're at a breaking point. You listen to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingBarrier.com, the voice of business. We'll take a break, do the news, and we'll be back right after the top of the hour.
Well, that's all right. that's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says Paul Manafort is not really a criminal. However, Giuliani is urging President Trump to wait until the Russia investigation is over before considering a pardon for Manafort. Giuliani telling the New York Daily News, Manafort is hardly a menace to society. The president's former campaign chairman was found guilty this week of 8 felony counts of tax and bank fraud. Hurricane Lane is whipping the coast of Hawaii. It now may miss the Big Island, but the other islands could be getting the worst of it.
Hurricane Lane is still a dangerous and powerful storm, and so we are asking all of our residents statewide to pay attention, listen to the updates and the forecast.
That's Hawaii's governor, and this is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Right now at Kohl's, get your family back to school ready with an extra 15% off. Young Men's Urban Pipeline denim is just $21.24. Family tees start at only $6.80. And save on cube storage units, starting at $46.74. Plus, everyone gets Kohl's cash. Get ready for back to school.
Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Were to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
Actor Bradley Cooper is paying his respects to the late Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. Cooper was honored with the Best Male Performance for his role as Kyle in American Sniper at last night's MTV Music Awards. He thanked the fans for making the film such a hit as well.
You brought awareness to the men and women and their families in the military and what they do for us on a daily basis. It's because of what you guys did and how you came out for the movie. Chris Kyle would have turned 41 4 days ago. Chris, this is for you.
Cooper was shut out of the Academy Awards and Golden Globe Awards earlier this year. The film was based on the best-selling autobiography of the same name and was a box office smash. Kyle is known as the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. Thousands are expected to say goodbye to inspirational college basketball player Lauryn Hill during a public memorial today in Cincinnati. She lost her battle with cancer last week. The 19-year-old had an operable brain tumor and was initially given just weeks to live, but she played the entire season and raised more than $1 million for cancer research. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
A 2-year-old boy is lucky he wasn't seriously hurt or worse after he fell into a cheetah pen at the Cleveland Zoo Saturday. Zoo spokesman Dr. Christopher Kuhar says the child's mother was holding him over an observation wall when she dropped him.
While this incident is disturbing to everyone, we are glad the injuries were not any more severe. Unfortunately, we have a number of eyewitnesses accounts that point to the strong likelihood that the child was dangled over the railing.
Fortunately, the two cats never approached the boy and he was rescued from the enclosure. The boy was taken to the hospital to be treated for a leg injury from the fall. Cleveland Metro Parks say they plan to press for misdemeanor child endangerment charges against the parents.
Safety is a top priority here, and we wish the child the best.
A Lake Zurich, Illinois sixth grader who finished tied for the first place in ESPN's Bracket Challenge is being awarded after all. The founders of the weight loss company Visalus decided to step in and provide Sam Holt with their own prize. Sam's mother, Liz, expressed her thanks on a video posted to the company's YouTube page.
Ryan, Nick, and Blake are generously offering Sam a $20,000 college scholarship.
The 12-year-old beat out more than 11 million other participants to finish tied for first in the bracket challenge, but was ineligible to receive ESPN's grand prize because he is not 18. One of the prizes was a $20,000 gift card to Best Buy. You can find more special interest stories, news, and, of course, headlines online anytime at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's 9:07, time for Hunter Chamber Radio Weather. We're at 48 degrees and partly cloudy skies in Flemington. Today is Monday, April 13, 2015. It'll be sun and clouds mixed today, a high of 73. Doesn't that sound great? Wind south at 10 to 15 miles an hour. It'll be partly cloudy skies this evening, increasing clouds with periods of showers late. A low of 53, wind south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 70%. Cloudy and periods of rain early tomorrow, a high of 66, winds light and variable, chance of rain 90%. On Wednesday, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies in the afternoon, a high of 66, partly cloudy 62 on Thursday the 16th, Friday, cloudy early with showers in the afternoon, a high of 65 and chance of rain is 60%, and considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers on Saturday, a high of 68. Temperatures in our area. I have 50 right now in over by the county complex, 48 in Reddington, 49 in Highbridge, and 52 in Phillipsburg, 49 in the Amwells. Good morning, Hunterdon. Hunter Chamber Radio Weather. Well, good morning, Hunter, and welcome back to Good Morning, Hunter, and HuntChamberRadio.com. Got my guests here from the Freedom House Foundation of New Jersey
And we have Glenn King, who's the executive director of Freedom House, and Dawn Nill, who is the director of marketing and development. They're having an upcoming 5K race on May 9th in the area, and we felt we would like to bring them in, talk about what Freedom House is all about, and learn about that 5K race and walk for next month. So we're going to bring everybody in here. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning.
Welcome to HunterChamberRadio.com. You are the executive director of Freedom House. Tell us a little bit about what Freedom House is.
Freedom House provides residential long-term treatment for adult males that are diagnosed with substance use disorders.
Mm-hmm.
We also provide case management for women and children, women who are in jeopardy of losing their children,
mm-hmm. who
normally have past addiction problems. So we will take the women and put them into our transitional living house, provide case management for them and the children, and advocate for them to be reunited through their children. These women are typically in jeopardy of losing their children because of their prior addiction, so they have open cases with the Division of Youth and Family Services, or now called Child Protection.
All right.
And our adult males treatment program is long-term residential in a halfway house setting. And what that means is they're pretty much halfway out in the community and halfway in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That consists of individual counseling, group counseling, didactic sessions. Each person is assigned a primary counselor. They stay there typically about 9 months on an average. And while they're there, they have to seek and maintain full-time employment. They have to make a contribution towards their room and board. In fact, half of what they make goes to pay for their room and board. One-third of what they make goes into the bank so they can establish independent living when they get out. And the remainder of their pay is for their toiletries and things of that nature.
Wow. Okay. We're going to cover a lot of that in detail in just a little bit. But you can hear that there's a tremendous amount of effort and activity that goes on at Freedom House. And Dawn, welcome to Good Morning Hunterin. You are the Director of Marketing and Development. And what does that entail for Freedom House?
Well, good morning. I am fairly new to Freedom House, only been in the position for 6 weeks now, so still learning.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been brought on board to raise the visibility of the organization in the communities that we serve and to raise the much-needed funds to be able to support the services and programs.
Excellent. What did you have marketing and fundraising and development background before this?
Yes, I've been in the nonprofit community for over 25 years.
Okay.
Worked for a local YMCA in New Jersey and then also an elder care organization out in Union County.
Mm-hmm.
And so my passion to use my skills to help raise visibility and the much-needed funds.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to this and working with Glenn and his team.
Neat. So was there an attraction to this particular fundraising? Did you see a new challenge that you were taking on? What was the game plan?
Yes, it's definitely a new challenge. I think any fundraisers out there in the community will agree that, our job is to really, raise the visibility, bring in the much-needed funds, get an organization on an even keel,
mm-hmm.
so that they can continue to sustain themselves. And Freedom House is much needed to have those funds. It costs about $25,000 to put someone through the program.
Yeah.
That's no small chunk of change,
yeah.
And we heavily rely on the support from private donations, foundations, corporations, and the events that we have coming up.
Yeah. It's been a long couple of years, about 8 years we've been going through this recession, and so, institutions and organizations like yours, it's trying to keep itself going and sustainable. It's a tough game. So fortunately, I think we're past the tough spot, but still you're competing for all the same dollars that are out there. So I'm glad we could bring you folks in to talk about Freedom House. Mr. King, how did you get involved with Freedom House?
Well, I have a long history with Freedom House.
Okay.
In fact, In 1990, I was introduced to Freedom House by way of being a resident. So I am now recovering from substance disorder for 24 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
I came to Freedom House in 1990. My predecessor, who was Fred Real, brought me there as a resident on Christmas Eve of 1990.
Wow.
And I've been around the organization ever since, of course, in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. I came as a resident. I've worked as a driver. After I left Freedom House, I drove for about 6 months or so, or maybe a little less than 6 months, I wanted to become a counselor. And from becoming after driving and becoming a counselor, I had to get certified. So I went to school and got my certification as a drug and alcohol counselor. I stayed there for about 5 years. I left and went to run a program in Paterson, New Jersey, called Millets and Fenwick House. I was then, after 2 years, recruited back to Freedom House in the position of a senior counselor. I then went back to school. I got my master's degree. After getting my master's degree, I was promoted to clinical director. And
hello,
since then, I've become a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor, which is a step above.
Listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Sorry if you were listening to that program about Freedom House, and that's my fault because I couldn't find my car keys this afternoon. I'm Pat Smith. The program that was supposed to start at 4 o'clock, It's the Law, is starting a little late. But I did want to bring you up to date on the weather. I'm not sure what day the program that you were listening to was broadcast, because it's not on Friday afternoons, I can tell you that much. So what's happening in the weather? As you know, today has been a beautiful, rather warm, although they said it's only about 84 degrees. It's really been warm and sunny. Tonight it's going to be clear, and again, can you believe it? We're going to have a sunny Saturday, and it should be high of about 82 degrees tomorrow. Actually, I'm surprised. I thought it was actually going to be warmer. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, and then there's going to be some patchy fog later, patchy fog into Sunday morning, and then it will be cleared up, and it'll be mostly sunny on Sunday, so it looks like we're going to have a good weekend. Monday, again, patchy fog in the morning, early, while we're trying to drive to work. And then otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of around 89 degrees. So tomorrow, expect a high of about 82 in this area. And for Sunday, it's going to be up to 86 and then up to 89 on Monday. And again, although there's going to be some clouds and patchy fog, it should be very warm on Tuesday, about 92 degrees. So that's the weather, for the prediction at least. And of course, if you're at the shore, please check down there, because it's always different. And I'll be back after just bringing you a couple sponsors so that we can get those in before the end of the program.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, again, I'm Pat Smith. The program, It's the Law. And the first thing I wanted to do, and I have been doing this regularly, is bringing everyone who's interested in what's happening at the border up to date. Apparently, as of the beginning of this week, there were still 565 children who were still not reunited with their parents. And apparently, 366 parents of these children have been deported. They also have announced that 26 parents are missing, and apparently 154 parents waived their rights to the children. Now, I'm not sure what this means when they say they waived their rights to the children. It may be that what's happening, and for example, I know of one case in New Jersey where the child who was separated from his parent was allowed to come to New Jersey to live with relatives, and he may be able to then apply for amnesty, or there's some other special programs. Apparently his mother is still in detention in Arizona. So now I'm not sure whether that's a situation where she waived her right to her children, so her children, in this case it was a child, could stay in the United States, or exactly whether or not that would fall under that category. But what is happening is parents, and this is tragic when you say, well, who would waive their rights to their children? Well, parents who face deportation, knowing they're going back to a country or a situation where they are likely to be murdered, or their children are likely to be murdered or taken into gangs, are willing to leave their children behind because they know that's in their children's best interest. And, of course, as a family lawyer, we hear best interests all the time. Another thing that's been happening is not everyone is coming to the United States. Apparently, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Nicaraguans who are fleeing Nicaragua and going into Costa Rica. And some of the people from Nicaragua going into Costa Rica are going and able to relocate with family members. Others are in camps, and they're fleeing Nicaragua because of the horrible problems under the current administration. Hundreds of people have been killed. They certainly are killed or imprisoned if they demonstrate and try to show any displeasure with the government. So that's the latest that I know from Latin America. And, you know, if anyone knows of children who are here, who have been separated from their parents, they should really contact KIND, and that's an organization that's helping the children, and I am volunteering for that. So the next thing I wanted to announce, and I hope to have David Perry Davis as a guest on the program, and I will let people know when that can happen, because he has been involved in a case that it's really tragic, and I want to talk a little bit about it. The case is called Cavantes, K-A-V-A-D-A-S, versus Martinez. And the complaint and initial order to show cause in that case was filed 40 months ago on May 1st, 2015. So it's been 2 years, as of August 23rd, it was 2 years since oral argument on the case. And according to Mr. Davis, there were no fact issues because both sides had applied for summary judgment. And when someone applies for summary judgment, it means that they do not believe there are any facts in dispute, and all the court has to do is issue a legal ruling. So apparently during oral argument, when the state was arguing, the DAG was arguing that, the court pointed out the obvious unfairness of what was going on. And this was a case where in New Jersey, you can have your license to drive suspended without being notified beforehand. So apparently the court even recognized that it would be unfair to suspend licenses and then notify the obligors days later. Well, what does this mean? What happens in New Jersey, if you owe child support, your license to drive can be suspended. And the problem is not that people should get away with failing to pay child support. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not the person should receive some notice before their license is suspended. Because in many of these cases, the person doesn't know about it until they're pulled over or summoned and even sometimes arrested for driving without a license. So they never receive notice that their license is automatically suspended without notice or a hearing. So apparently, during the hearing for preliminary restraints, that as I said, 2 years ago, the court called the issues important and said the case would be expedited. And it has still not been decided. This is really tragic, and who knows what's going on, but the problem is, since that time, since they filed the case, apparently 60,000 people have lost their licenses, and apparently 59,200 of those suspensions occurred automatically, which meant there was no hearing. And, of course, New Jersey's collection rate for child support continues to lag behind other states. In fact, New Jersey is the 14th, apparently, in collecting child support. And in fact, what they did is they enacted legislation that enabled the probation departments to clear off the old cases. And in fact, in some cases, in some cases, if the person paying support for a disabled child, and the disabled child was legally an adult, not attending school, then probation no longer even collects on these cases, which poses another problem. But in any event, this policy is, really creating havoc. And then at times when these people are hauled into court, I know of a case, for example, where someone owed about $30,000 of child support, appeared in court. The judge asked him what he could pay. He said he had $1,000. Judge told him to pay that, restored his license, told him that if he didn't continue paying regularly, he would be, he would be arrested. And, of course, he hasn't been arrested. I don't know if his license was then automatically suspended again. But in any event, according to Mr. Davis, he anticipated a good decision in the case, or a bad decision that could be appealed, or maybe even something in the middle. And since, as an attorney, we know that we generally don't anticipate a court acknowledging the legitimacy of an issue, especially an issue hurting tens of thousands of people, and then, of course, in this case, simply refusing to decide the issue. And, you know, it's not a complex factual question or, you know, days of trial testimony that the court has to sort through. You know, some delay maybe, but this has been 3 years. And according to Mr. Davis, he plans on filing a notice of appeal with a motion asking the appellate division to deem the failure of the trial court to do its job as a de facto denial subject to appellate review. Now, this means, in legal terms, you cannot file an appeal in a case until there's a final decision. So that what Mr. Davis is saying is the fact that the court did not decide for 2 years is a de facto decision, meaning the same as if it was denied. There certainly, in Mr. Davis's opinion and in many attorneys' opinion, there would be a reason for a higher court to step in under these circumstances. So as I said, I hope to have him on the program to talk more about this, and I certainly know that he would be willing to hear from people if, in fact, they've had their license suspended and, you know, the hardship it's causing. His address, his name is David Perry Davis. You know, don't call him because he's overwhelmed, but I'm sure that if you wrote to him at 57 Hamilton Avenue, Suite 301 in Hopewell, New Jersey, 08525, and indicate on the envelope that it has something to do with Cavadas, K-A-V-A-D-A-S, versus Martinez, or that it had to do with you being suspended, license suspended, he would be more than pleased to get even more information to help him in this quest. And frankly, I applaud him. This has been a thankless case that has just gone on and on and on, and I know he's spent hundreds of hours on it. So I will let everybody know if, in fact, I'm able to book Mr. Davis for a spot on this program, because I think it would be worthwhile to have a program devoted to this, and then other people who are interested can also listen later. So back in just a minute, or after we play some spots from our sponsors, and I'll bring you up to date on other cases.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, we're back, and let's talk a little bit about some of the cases decided this week and some other legal news. The first one I wanted to talk to you about is this was approved for publication. It's an administrative law case. It was decided by the appellate division. And this is New Jersey Department of Community Affairs versus Mayone. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, M-A-I-O-N-E. And in this case, the defendant, Mayone, appealed from the department's final agency decision, finding that he was ineligible for two Superstorm Sandy recovery grants. Apparently, the grants were intended to assist homeowners in rebuilding their damaged property. I mean, as we know, damaged property, residences, and apparently the recipient's eligibility was conditioned on the property being the recipient's primary residence. Frankly, I was not aware of that, if these are the grants that are commonly discussed. The defendant was awarded the grants based on his representations that his primary residence was in Toms River. However, the department later discovered evidence showing defendant's primary residence at the time of Superstorm Sandy was in Hoboken. And so they subsequently demanded the defendant refund the grants. Defendant requested a hearing, and the administrative law judge determined that defendant did not meet the eligibility criteria and was obligated to return the funds. On appeal, the defendant argued that the department's conclusion that his primary residence was in Hoboken was arbitrary and capricious. And apparently that was what the standard was, and he said it was not based on the common law concept of domicile. The appellate court rejected his argument and the administrative law judge and the agency. The court noted that the department required three types of documentation to satisfy the primary residence requirement. First was a tax return, which of course would have the address. Second was voter registration. And third, a New Jersey driver's license. Although apparently the department would accept alternative documentation on a case-by-case basis. So the appellate court further noted that the department concluded defendant's Toms River home was not his primary residence because all three required documents listed defendant's Hoboken address instead. And thus the court ruled that defendant's failure to present acceptable documentary evidence showing the Toms River house was his primary residence was supported by the department's decision. So everybody who had summer homes, I guess if they didn't have insurance, according to the eligibility for these grants, they were not entitled to receive the grants. So I'm not sure how many people applied, received the money, and then ended up having to give it back. So there was another case that was published. This was a Third Circuit, meaning a federal court. It was Newark Cab Association versus the City of Newark. And so the plaintiffs, the Cab Association, appealed the dismissal of their action, challenging an agreement between the City of Newark and Uber Technologies, Inc. And the Cab Association argued the city violated the plaintiff's takings clause and equal protection clause rights by subjecting Uber to less onerous regulations than were opposed or are imposed on taxi and limousine services. So what happened is the city historically regulated all for hire transportation providers, including the Newark Cab Association drivers, and they were all regulated under uniform regulations that required drivers to meet certain qualifications, required drivers to pass police-conducted background checks, pay application fees, and also obtain commercial licenses. And also the Newark required the vehicles to be serviced and inspected every 6 months. Also, fares had to be imposed by meters at mandated rates. And then, however, the city of Newark subsequently entered an agreement with Uber permitting it to operate in Newark. On appeal, plaintiffs argued the district court erred in ruling that the plaintiffs failed to allege a protectable property interest. So that was the issue, is did they have a protected property interest? And in dismissing their state law claim, which was breach of contract, promissory estoppel, and equitable estoppel claims, the court rejected the Taxi Cab Association's arguments and affirmed dismissal of their action. The court noted the plaintiffs remain in possession of their taxi and limousine medallions such that there was no taking. So apparently that was why they still had the medallions, and that's why there was no taking. The court further held that any diminution in the medallion's value was insufficient to constitute a taking. Now, of course, it's easy to understand why the Cab Association is concerned, because taxi drivers who own cabs and are participating in that association pay significant amounts of money for their medallions. And so, however, the court said that was still insufficient to constitute a taking. And the court held that the fact that they had medallions that gave them no rights to exclusive transportation service for Newark, and they ruled that a lack of property interest was fatal to their substantive due process claims, and they rejected the equal protection claim, finding that the nature of the taxi service meant consumers required greater protection compared to companies such as Uber. So finally, the court ruled the plaintiffs' state law claims failed, finding no evidence that the city intended to create contractual or quasi-contractual rights through its regulation of taxi and limousine services. So that that was a big win for Uber, and we can certainly understand why taxi drivers are concerned about this kind of competition, and that's what it is. It's certainly competition with what, you know, they had exclusive rights before this. Let's see. So there was a real estate case approved for publication this week. The appellate division, in this case, the plaintiffs, Alloco, A-L-L-O-C-O, versus Ocean Beach and Bay Club. The plaintiffs actually appealed the denial of their motion for summary judgment and the grant of defendant's motion for summary judgment. So what happened in this case, obviously, there was a complaint and there were answers, and then both sides felt that there was no issue under the facts and that the court could decide based on the law. So in this case, they filed a motion, and then their motion for summary judgment was denied, and the defendant's motion for summary judgment was granted. So the plaintiffs in this case owned homes in Ocean Beach and this beachfront community. And the defendant's certificate of incorporation and deed permitted it to adopt rules and regulations concerning the construction and modification of homes. So again, this is another Superstorm Sandy situation, because after Superstorm Sandy destroyed many homes in the community, including, of course, the plaintiff's homes, the Ocean Beach and Bay Club adopted rules and rule changes for flood zone compliance. So although the changes allowed homeowners to elevate their homes, apparently in this case, plaintiffs were denied permission to elevate their homes, even though they would even hire to allow the space beneath to be used for parking. So apparently plaintiffs presented the present action for declaratory and injunctive release, and they argued the defendant acted incompetently in enacting height regulations, breached its fiduciary duties to members of the Ocean Beach and Bay Club, and violated its certificate of incorporation. So apparently they were incorporated as the New Jersey Nonprofit Corporation. No, I guess it was under the New Jersey Nonprofit Corporation Act, as well as public policy. So apparently the trial court in this case granted summary judgment to the defendant pursuant to the business judgment rule. And on appeal, the plaintiffs argued that the defendant's decision should not have been subject to the business judgment rule. And the court, in this case, it was the appellate division, rejected plaintiff's argument and affirmed. And the court noted the defendant was empowered to adopt and amend rules and regulations. So because they were able to do that, they said the plaintiffs failed to rebut the presumption of the validity of the defendant's actions by showing they were fraudulent, self-dealing, or unconscionable. So there had to be they can't just object to rules and regulations. There has to be a basis that they were fraudulent, self-dealing, or unconscionable. So the appellate court found that the self-dealing allegations by the plaintiffs had no nexus, nothing at all with respect to these rule changes. The allegations of arbitrariness or incompetency did not prove fraud or self-dealing or unconscionability. And they also said that the defendants alleged procedural errors. So there were some procedural errors, but they did not constitute fraud, self-dealing, or unconscionability. So that was that. And I see that my friend and fellow radio host for the Sports Law has just come in. And I'm just going to ask him, is there anything new that people know or need to know from the bankruptcy perspective?
Well, in the bankruptcy universe, it's been a slow summer, Pat. We have had a number of U.S. Supreme Court decisions, but they mostly deal with Chapter 11 cases and
So explain, what's a Chapter 11 case?
Yeah, those are always the big league ones, but, you know, you kind of caught me.
Okay, well.
You kind of blindsided me here because
Oh, that's always fun.
About sports.
Well, then let me talk a little bit more about some more cases until the end of this program, and
that'd
then you and I will talk about sports, and I'm so glad you're here. So let's see what else is happening. So the New Jersey Supreme Court has ordered consolidation of more than 350 lawsuits over alleged side effects from the breast cancer drug, and it's Taxotere. I've not heard of it, but there's going to be certainly a lot of lawsuits. And so there was that's going to have an effect on a lot of people, and I'm not sure anything about the case, but we'll be hearing much more about it because that consolidation means that all of these cases are going to be heard by one judge, and I'm sure we'll get opinions at some point, or the parties will end up settling. There was approved for publication a tax case, which might be of interest to some people. It was Doherty versus the Division of Taxation, and that was published on August 17th. And in this case, the parties cross-moved for summary judgment on the plaintiff's complaint challenging their income tax assessments. So what happens is that the plaintiffs, who are residents of New Jersey, own stock in a family business incorporated and located in Pennsylvania. And this company elected subchapter S taxation. So the plaintiffs reported differing S corporation income on their New Jersey and Pennsylvania returns based on the respective allowances under each state's tax code. So then, as non-residents, plaintiffs were only subjected to tax in Pennsylvania on the business income allocated to Pennsylvania under Pennsylvania's allocation formula. And that's, of course, also subject to Pennsylvania. They apparently have a flat tax rate. Conversely, New Jersey taxed all income regardless of allocation. So thus, the division of taxation limited plaintiffs' credit for Pennsylvania tax under the Gross Income Tax Act and did that to avoid corporate income allocated to New Jersey. This resulted in plaintiffs having a deficiency on their claim credit for Pennsylvania tax. So this gets a little convoluted here. And then in support of their complaint, plaintiffs argued that the legislature's intention under the GIT Act was to ensure that New Jersey received its full share of taxes on corporate income allocated to New Jersey, full share of taxes on corporate income allocated to New Jersey, since Pennsylvania allocated to itself and taxed a greater share of income than New Jersey allocated to itself. And as a result, the plaintiffs argued that New Jersey's tax revenue would not be eroded because it taxed all income, regardless of allocation. And then in response, the defendant argued that because the legislature had established a specific procedure for calculating the credit, that formula had to be followed, even if a greater credit for tax paid to other states would not reduce New Jersey tax revenues. So what was the outcome? Well, the court agreed with defendant and in this case, meaning the division of taxation, and not only did they agree, they granted its motion for summary judgment. And the court held that the credit was not intended to protect residents from taxes imposed by foreign jurisdictions, but rather to protect the New Jersey tax base, so that's interest, from being diminished by credits. And also the court ruled that the specific statutory formula was evidence that the legislature intended what was going on in this case. So that was that. So that's one of the things you have to look at very carefully. Obviously, all of these things create huge problems and huge questions, and sometimes these issues have not been decided. Now, a New Jersey court again this week ruled that in a same-sex spouse, the appellate court ruled that the non-biological mother in a same-sex couple can sue for bystander negligent infliction of emotional distress in connection with the death of a 2-year-old Trenton girl in a horrific accident. So it was not just, in this case, they extended, even though this was the mother of the child by marriage, she was not the biological mother, but there was a same-sex couple, and frankly, I have to look at that to see whether or not they were married or whether they just held themselves out as a same-sex couple. And I will try to look at that if anybody's interested, because that is it is interesting. What I've read on it didn't indicate whether or not the same-sex couple were in fact married. However, I'm sure they were able to prove that they were raising this 2-year-old together. So, And the case that they talk about is, they say the case that they relied on was Porte versus Jaffe, and it's always called a Porte versus Jaffe claim for emotional distress. And the New Jersey State Bar Association filed an amicus brief as a friend of the court. And this decision, of course, the decision was Moreland versus Parks, involving a woman seeking damages after